a big party. We're just, you know, it's not about us. It's about God. And Brian's like, too bad. He later explained it and said, you know, the good thing is what it does is there's a right way to do this. There's a wrong way to do this. And we wanted to make sure, even though, you know, it's a big decision, we wanted to make sure this is done right in the eyes of God. And so one of the main things you'll hear us kind of go back and forth on is touching base with that. And that's what it's all about, because without him, we're nothing. You know, our wisdom is foolishness to him, and so on, and we could go on and on. But so what we want to do is give you guys some perspective today. It's amazing when you start looking back and you start thinking about things and you go, oh my gosh, we used to do that. We used to act like that. That's mm-hmm. You know, we used to panic at that. Now we laugh at it, you know. And yeah. To help you understand that, because a lot of times you can look at someone with years, whatever it is, whether it's a job or in a church or just someone in upper authority, and you can look at them and just kind of think it's like, gosh, how do you, you know, that's them, this is me. And it's like, well, they started where you did. Yeah. So, and that's kind of the point we want to emphasize is we've been in this seat viewing this way for many of these to go, wow, I don't even get what you're doing, how does this work? And now all of a sudden we're here. So, you know, we want this to be a blessing. We want this to be a good thing. We want this to just be amazing. So, that being said, to summarize, we're going to just give you a perspective on how we met. She's going to start with that. And we're just going to go through our testimony of how we got saved with God. It's fun. If you haven't heard it, a lot of you have, a lot of you haven't. Most of you who don't know us have only known us as Jake likes to call it, me being a deacon, which seems like it should be a cuss word, but... So you hear it and you go, wait, can he say, oh, okay, no, you're fine. You know, deacon, deacon, are you, anybody offended yet? Too bad, no. No, right, see, I love it. He's like, you're going to have to work harder than that, so amen. And then to give you guys all, you know, that perspective on how we got to where we're sitting here, and to really, the main thing is, you know, we get to testify and share what God has done and shown us so that we get to share it with you, and that's how you learn a lot of stuff, right? So I'll just pray.
Yeah.
Just. I hate, why do people say that? I hate it when they say that. I'm just, it's like, I'm just going to pray. Yeah, I just hate that. But we all know what we mean, right? It's kind of funny. It's like, yeah, it's fine, but it's like, when you think about it, it's like, really? You're just going to pray? Let's pray. Yes. All right. Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you're going to do. Lord, you're the same today, yesterday, forever. And Lord, we thank you that you've done amazing things. And Lord, let these words be words from you that people can understand. Let us not go off on too many trails, only the trails you want us to go on, Lord. And you be glorified in all of it because of your son, Jesus. Amen. All right. She's going to start with how we met.
Picture this. Dim the lights. So, okay, 1993 was the year that we met, 1993.
Glad she keeps track of that.
Yeah, I'm not good with numbers, but 1993. All right, so that was a long time ago. I just, to preface a little bit, like, I did not grow up in the church at all. My sister's here, she can vouch for that. Okay, we didn't even, the only time my dad mentioned Jesus Christ was... Yeah, the opposite of praise. Yeah, descriptive. So that was our church upbringing. We grew up on a farm. We worked very hard, and that's just what we did. I moved out of the house when I was like 17 or just before 18. I was okay. Yeah, yep. And, you know, living with a boyfriend, going out drinking, having parties. That was what we did. And so when when I moved back home a few years later, I was like 20. Wink, wink. That's a funny story, too, for a different time. Yeah. Well, we had to be able to go to the clubs. Anyway, so, yeah. I moved back home, had to find a job, ended up applying at Quad Graphics, which is where he worked up in Hartford. I'm kind of Cliff's notesing it. And got employed there, and we started dating pretty quickly after that. You asked me for coffee. You asked me to go out for coffee after work, and I didn't drink coffee then, but it wasn't to the bar. Yeah, we worked nights, and yeah, the other guys would all ask me out to the bar, so this was refreshing to go for coffee after. Yeah. Wink
coffee
and a nod,
and beer.
Yes.
First lesson, okay?
Coffee. So after, you know, we'd been dating for 5 years, he decided to ask me to marry him. And I was like, wow, after 5 years, you asked me to marry you. 5 years, I waited.
It was
5 years. Anyway, so he asked me to marry him, and I was like, yeah, of course. This would be awesome. Let's get married. And so we were like, well, how are we going to do this? You know, we could, like, go over to City Hall. We could, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are the options back then in
1998?
So, we just went to the Yellow Pages. I don't know if any of you know what that is. Yeah, you let your fingers do the walking. It's this giant magical book where you look up church, and then, oh, there's one. Okay, and you call the number.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They still make them? Okay.
Rip them in half.
Anyway, so we decided, you know, because he had a little experience in the Lutheran church, and he was like, I'm not supposed to say that's D. I'm not supposed to say denominations. Anyway, part of the story. So he was like, well, I don't want to get married in that church. And I'm like, okay, well, I have no experience, so I'm pretty much game for anything. We called up Cornerstone, non-denominational. That should work. Called up, left a message, and I guess we didn't hear anything right away, but eventually Michael called us back. And we were like, cool. So we hooked up with him. We met with him. We worked nights at Quad, so crazy schedules, just like Walking Dead type of thing, yeah. And so trying to meet up with him wasn't super easy. Anyway, we did, and we ended up there was his office where the guys are right now, and we ended up meeting with him. We got saved that. Did we get saved that day? Or no, we walked away thinking he was a little nuts.
Right, so yeah, this is where it gets fun now. So her side of the story, we get to where we start to the journey of our testimony. And I'll pick up there in a second. So for me, I was your classic, you know, two kids, two parents, middle class, brat, little whiner baby. Started leading the life that social, you know, things tell you to live. Drink before, you know, as soon as you can. I started hanging out with all the friends were, you know, they were fine. They were the good people. But, you know, it was all about what can you get away with? You know, what can you do? And then the rush of, oh, now what? And then you start graduating. And then your conscience somewhere, you know, you find a medium where you're like, well, I'll smoke pot, but not when I got to work the next day. So then it's okay. Yeah, so for me, it was the same type of thing. It was, you know, go out, drink, you know. I was responsible because I didn't want to feel good for my day at work, you know. I didn't want to. So it was interesting. And you look back at it now and you go, that was God at work and I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that. But so we both had very similar lifestyles, which I think is very common for how you grow up in America. You grow up in rebellion, you get into trouble, the amount of trouble depends on you, and, you know, you take it from there. You go to high school, you go to college for 4 years, you get a job, retire, and die. I'm like, yay, mm-hmm. This is great. That's why people drink and smoke.
Yeah.
So, But anyway, so I didn't get any into the big kid drugs or anything, but smoked weed for a few years. And as she said, we met there, and that was kind of in the middle of both of these lifestyles that we had. And we just kind of took it from there, living the classic American life. You get married when you feel like it. You just kind of go with it, you know. Two incomes. Yeah. I think Michael called it the American dream, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we were. And so to come back to and I guess to say one more thing, that was kind of just accepted. That's just what you did. So that was what society was. It's like, this is how you act. You're good. And so when that tells you you're good, you just think you're good. But mm-hmm. when there's something greater at work, you find out you're not good.
Yeah.
And so when I finally asked her to marry me, 4.9 years later, no, I don't know. Yeah, no, it was way too long. And we did the stupid 1.5 year engagement and all that ridiculous stuff. Living together, so what's the difference, right? Yeah, it's like, yeah. So, but then it got to the point, it's like, well, what do we do? Like she was saying, how do we do this? Well, I guess you do it in a church, right? And
yeah,
so
yeah.
We get to back meeting Michael up there. That was August of 1997. Mm-hmm. So it was Christmas of 96, so basically early part of 97. We finally get with somebody mid-97. We get up there, out of the two churches, two non-denominational churches, because we just thought, okay, that's the best way to do it. And this was the one that called us back. They were on vacation in California for like 2 or 3 weeks or something.
Yeah.
So that's why it took a few weeks for them to call us back. Yeah. And so we get up there. He meets with us. And right away, you're just like, when you first meet Michael, you're just kind of like, whoa, man, there's some horsepower coming out of this guy, you know? But, you know, at this point, you're just like, am I annoyed? You're just kind of almost captivated and annoyed all at the same time. And I know all of you can relate to that. You can't stop listening. That's the captivated part,
yeah.
Right? You're just like, wow, this is amazing. But
yeah.
Is he, like, mad at me? Or, you know,
yeah.
I'm like, what is going on? So you got all these conflicting emotions and things. And basically, he's like, well, what's your plan? And we said that. We're like, well, we're getting married. We thought a church is the way to do it. He was like, well, do you want to get married before God? And we're like, the right answer is yes. I know this one. Yes. Yes. And he's like, because if you want to just get married, go rent a building and have a party. And I'm like, who talks like this? You can't be upfront about stuff. You might hurt my feelings. So he broke out. Anybody know what the two-question test is? Little track. Okay, basically, it's one of the most simplest tracts, the gospel tracts. Are you going to heaven, and
why?
I'm like, two questions, no problem. We got this. And I should at least get 50%, right? Of course I'm going. Why? Well, this is the hard part now. Yeah, I helped my neighbor last week. I saw, you know, so-and-so, and pretty soon you start listing off all this stuff as things that you did. And then he turns the page, and it's like, smash, all wrong. All your deeds, you got the buzzer, it was Simon Cowell, I mean, it was the whole thing. But, and then it basically, I didn't hear that, what did he say?
That's a no from me.
All right, our audition is now complete. That was our son, by the way, behind the camera. So, derailed and coming back on. All right. So, basically, you find out that you're not getting to heaven through your works. It's a free gift offered through the sacrifice of God's son, Jesus, that you accept. What do you do with a gift? One thing you can do with it. Two things. One right thing. You can go like that, or you can take it. And so, more or less, we left here going, that guy's crazy.
Scratching our heads.
He's, what just happened up there? Not going there. Okay? So, we're at this point, and he's heard all this. Just so you know, I would say this if he was sitting right there, because he lived it. So, this is all good. We're not hiding anything. So, like Brian said, it's transparency 100%. So, anyway, we get to that point now. So, that's end of August-ish. And, you know, suddenly it's the next holidays, and then we're in like February-ish. Mm-hmm. And then we're going, what are we going to do? And through all this time, we kept thinking about Cornerstone Church.
Yeah.
And again, we didn't know that, but that was God directing us. Mm-hmm. There was some conviction. You know, it was kind of like this annoying mosquito in the room, but then it never bit you. So you were like, oh, well, I hate the buzzing, but okay. So my metaphors are weird today, sorry. But I think it works. Anyhow, so someone messed with my drums, by the way, just to get that out of the way. Who did that? Was that a trick? No, it's funny. I went to play them. I didn't practice because Brian and Jake had something to do. So I was helping going through the songs. And then I went back there to kind of line things up. I'm like, oh, this is bad. Nothing's where I'm used to it. So it's kind of funny. I don't know how it sounded, but it was very strange for me. So anyway, I digress. But yeah, I'm bringing it back. So we get to this point where we're just like, okay, I guess we should go back. That's how it felt. I hope that helped. We were both like, yeah, yeah.
Question
mark? Is that the new thing? So it was a Wednesday. That's when there was Wednesdays at 7, I think it was.
TNT.
7
o'clock.
TNT, teaching and training. Till like 9, 30, 10 sometimes.
Yeah.
And so we came, you know, worship was about an hour, hour 15. We come walking in the church right on time, about 10 after. You know, kind of sneak in the back.
Yeah.
And we notice that people are having fun and dancing and joyful. And I'm like,
happy.
I thought this was a church.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
We thought it was, we're just like, wait, what's going on here? So we make it through the people who are very happy. And then y'all know what I'm talking about. We had the hard, Battleship Gray carpeting, and like again, more conflict here. But anyway, so religious, happy, wait, what? So, I don't remember what the standard format was. If there was a break, I think it just went right into teaching, basically. And I don't remember the exact message, but the message he had was for us. It was more like a new Christian coming through, what do you do? How do you interact with all this? And he didn't do that because he saw this. He had that planned, and then he saw us. And I remember we were sitting over somewhere in that side about halfway back. And he gets done. He's like, amen, and he comes right over to us. Now, this is August. Now we're in March, late March, I believe, mid to late March. So this is months. And he goes, Scott and Shannon, right? And I was like, yeah, and we're going to do this again? Is he mad at me? You know,
yeah.
And because it was like, oh shoot, he's heading right. Don't look, but he's, you know.
He's, maybe he'll just go by.
Yeah. No, he's going to the people behind us. So he comes up, Scott and Shannon, right? I was like, dang, yeah. And he goes, you still getting married on in June? You know, and I was like, this June? Yeah. He goes, June 20th, right? And I was like, dang.
Yeah.
It's like a steel trap. I'm like, wow. And he goes, well, I guess you're here because you want to do marriage counseling and get married here. We're like, sure.
It's like he told us what we wanted.
Yeah, we literally were just like deers in the headlight. We're like, let's go with that because I don't know, okay?
You can't say no. You can't say
yeah. No. So he's like, and he just starts laying it out. And if you know Michael, you're just like, yep. It was already, it took him a split second to lock together all the random thoughts he had since we left. And he was able to go, here you go. Here's what we're going to do. And you're like, great.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'll let you take it from there. How's that? We start marriage counseling.
Okay. Marriage counseling.
Oh, we need that.
5 years later. No.
Yeah.
We like have no time for marriage counseling, so Cliff's notes, big time. But it was very, very good. So a little side thing. Scott and I were living together. Now, were we at the house? We were at the house at that time.
Yes, we were in Oconomowoc, in the house we currently are now.
Yeah.
And it was a duplex, half the upstairs rented.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the lower and half the upstairs.
Yeah.
Plus the two.
Yes, so BC, before children, if you track. We Yes, yeah, so we're in the process of buying, or we just bought it, or something. But so we're in this big house, and we're living together. And Michael doesn't mince words. He's not the kind who like tiptoes around the point, lets you do things all backwards and wrong, and then deals with it. No, cutthroat. So he's like, so you guys want to get married before God, but you're living together. So that means you're sleeping together. And we were like, oh, yeah, that. What? You know, right? Just downplay it. So he's like, this is what should happen. You know, you want to have your hearts right before God. And he explained the whole thing. And then it was the Lord who convicted us. So he moved into the spare bedroom. And then that's where he stayed until the day that we got married. So, you know, Michael had told us too, he said, typically I would advise Scott to go find an apartment. But because, you know, you've bought this house and it's like a major financial obligation. And so he just moved down the hall. And then that's where he was till the day that we got married. So that's cool. God was already at work, you know, talking to us.
It was a flat out rebuke. We came, so more of the story, and this is what's really powerful about it, is I think it was our third time coming for, maybe only the second time coming for counseling. And I could tell something was wrong, and he says, well, I'm not going to marry you. And I was like, okay, so
right.
Now we're changing this up.
Right.
He's like, God told me that you guys are sleeping together. And I was like, what do you got, cameras? What the heck? Well, you don't just know stuff like that. Well, you know, later on you realize that, okay, first of all, there's some common sense issues involved. Yeah, discernment. And then it's just, you know, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so that was our first rebuke and interaction with, you know, how God works in people's lives. And so one of the major things I'd said that I felt like God really wanted to bring up today was off of that point.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a book out there called The Bait of Satan by John Brevere.
Yeah.
He's out of, I guess maybe, all the hundreds, whatever people that we've listened to over the years, he's one of the guys that lines up the most with the vision here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things here and there, it's like, whatever. But most of the time, you're like, amen, brother, nailing it. And so a little bit of spoilers here, but it's because it has to be made for the point, is that the bait is being offended.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says something to you, you don't like it, and you have a choice to accept the correction or to get offended.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bait of Satan is to get offended, to say that, he's wrong, I'm right, which is basically what you're saying. They don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So you decide, I'm going to be right.
Yeah.
And you take that. And there's a part in Hebrews that says that leads up to bitterness, which ends up to separation. It goes bad quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so this is where you can derail or figure out how to do the right thing. And I remember clenching my fist so hard I thought I was going to break my hand because I was going to deck him. I was. I was like, yeah, you're talking to me like this, you know? So did I get offended? No. Of course I did. I was totally offended, you know? You know, tell me how to live my life. I'm 27. I know what I'm doing, you know? Gosh, that probably started when I was 15, right? Teenagers or younger or earlier, whatever. Most of them aren't here. They knew that was coming. Charles is gifted in that. Spoilers, not really. But anyway, so I took the offense side. But the Bible says that Jesus gives grace to the humble, which is the opposite of being offended, right? You can't please God without faith. Being humble is an act of submission, which is an act of faith, okay? So that's how that connects. And I don't know that we even got through any counseling, or do you at that point?
At that point, I don't know.
I think it was just, you guys figure this out, come back if you're going to correct it, otherwise we're done. And I was like, dang.
You can just do that?
Yeah. And so I think it was some, we may have just repented right there. I think actually we did. He talked for a little more, and when you have the spiritual discernment someone like him has, you're able to see things progress and see how they feel right away. And so I think we got corrected there. We did a modified teaching or counseling.
Mm-hmm.
What was the book? The
Communication Key to Your Marriage?
Yeah, yeah. So,
is that the one you're referring to?
No, it is. It is. I thought I had a funny thought that only makes sense to me, so I'll just leave it there. So, also discernment. Don't share those. Otherwise, you go finish your other shoe in the back room sometimes. So, no, it was nothing like that. So, yeah, Communication Key to Your Marriage. We were, like, reading it on the way to work and on the way back because we had to cram. We were getting married in June, and it was, like, April, and we're doing this thing that takes, like, you know.
7 months or something.
Well, yeah. It was. I think it was, like, two and a half months or something. Anyway, so, but the main thing was there is that when something happens to you, it doesn't matter what it is. The Bible says that first correction seems wrong, right?
Yeah.
Because you're being told you're doing something wrong. So at first you're like, wait, whoa, I'm in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
I have this vision. I'm doing this. And then, but later it's revealed as truth and righteousness with God. Okay, let's take that side.
Yeah.
Let's be right with God. Okay, so take the correction. It's okay to feel that offense. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus was tempted. Just don't let it go into vain imaginations, fights in your head with the people. Those are the thoughts that you need to hold captive. Take those and then get with God, get with Scripture, pray, and for goodness sakes, repent. So, you know, that's how you do it. Repentance is the true humility, right, in any argument, is that, you know, we've taught our kids that from the beginning. They're like, I'm sorry. We're like, yeah, that's funny. You're sorry. They all know that doesn't work. Sorry means you got caught and you're just like, whatever. There's no remorse or there's very little remorse, right? So true repentance is an act of humility, and you know it. You can tell when someone actually repents or is humble. You can tell.
Yeah.
So anyway, I told you there's going to be a lot of things like this.
Question. When did you guys actually get saved?
Okay, coming to that.
Okay.
Yep. Coming. We are. I just knew that point was coming up, and I had to get to that one. So his question was, when did we get saved? So when the question, when we started the counseling, it was first, what, you know, here's the deal. Unless you get right with God, all this is for nothing. And it led back to the discussion we had up there. And we went back to the two-question test, and I'm like, yeah, you know, even though you showed us that back in April or August, we were like, yeah, there's something there. And so the conviction was working that whole time. And we said, yeah, you know what? Now we understand what that is. That's God pushing us and giving us this free gift right in front of us. And, man, if we don't take it now, I don't know that I will.
Yeah.
And so that was our first interaction with counseling. The story of the correction came two or three after that, so we did jump ahead, apologies, but so it basically was, here it is, this is the only way to get right with God. Jesus is Lord and Savior, and your faith goes through him. You acknowledge him and live through him, and we're just like, okay, well, let's do that. That is more the right answer than I ever knew in my entire life. And so we always want it to be this big, amazing, glorious moment, but really it comes down to just a decision you make. It just happens to be the biggest decision in your life, but other than that. But it's really the journey that leads up to that decision that's more powerful sometimes. And then when you make the decision, is a short time in that, and then more power comes after. So so that's where we got to. We're in the counseling. He rebukes us. We're like, you're a jerk. Okay, I'm a jerk. Let's do this right.
Yeah. And the whole time, Annie, if any of you know Annie, oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh, she told me long ago, I just choose joy. Yeah, you can, it just oozes off of her. So while we're getting rebuked, I'm looking at Annie because I'm like, and she's just, you know, she's so wonderful and so precious. And I just like, okay, I saw her doing that. And I'm like, there's hope. We're just going to be okay. You know, and she's just like music. She's the sunshine. She's awesome. I wish she was here, but they're in Minnesota right now. That's okay. Anyway, okay. So from there, we were filled with the Holy Spirit in their living room. That was just a couple weeks later, I think.
And the week after the rebuke.
Yeah, the week after the rebuke. So let's just move this right along. You know, we're not going to sit in an offense. We're not going to do this or that. Thank you, honey. It's good. So they were talking to us about the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but also being filled with the Holy Spirit. The two are, it's like two separate acts, but they do go together. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're allowing his gifts to come into you, and you're just releasing yourself to him, to something greater than yourself. And it's very, very powerful. It's terrifying, very exciting. Someone who is just a brand new Christian and in diapers, I would say, I was like, oh, we filled the diapers and we were filled with the Spirit that same day right there in their living room. But it was one of those things where I was scared to do it because I didn't, like, there were so many parts that just weren't filled in for me yet, and I'm kind of practical and stuff, so I was trying to work through all this and what is all this flowing with the Spirit stuff that you're talking about, because it's kind of crazy. So I was just kind of following his lead, and it made sense to him, so I was just like, well, then I'll do it. And it was powerful, and it was crazy, and it was so fun, crazy cool, right? Neither of us could feel our legs after.
Yeah, I was driving and home, and I said, we were like, I can't feel the steering wheel.
Yeah, shaking, just like, yeah, it's like, take the wheel, Jesus! Yeah, it was crazy. It was just, it was a lot of fun, and the Holy Spirit, yeah, he entered our hearts that day. It's kind of funny, you know, but necessary. We have to have that. We have to, otherwise, where's your power, you know? We finished the counseling, and we got married. We got married right here-ish.
Yeah.
And... yeah, that was how long ago?
Well, do I have to get exact?
So, yeah.
So, 98.
1998, yep. Woo, way to go, yes. So, we got married, and...
Her birthday is June 12th, so I always have, I go June 20th, you know.
June 20th, yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. Isn't that funny how it lines up? We got married and didn't have kids right away. It just wasn't something that was happening right away, which is fine, because we got a dog. You remember the dog, yeah. You remember that dog. That dog.
Oh, yeah. Jake, the Schnauzer babysitter.
Yeah. That was
before
children, too.
Christened the stage for him while he was watching her one time. So that's the funny story.
She pooped.
He's like, hey, dude, your dog's pooping on the stage, somebody said to him. He's like, oh, I'm just watching it.
That was, yeah. Segway. Sorry, that was a segue. Nice filler conversation.
Yeah. I don't know who said it. That stage has been deleted. That
yeah,
gone.
It's been cleaned up.
Yeah, that's gone.
We got married June 20th, and... the discipleship began from there, and it was just really a sweet, sweet time. And I look back, not only did Michael and Annie disciple us, but there was a couple in the church. They've moved on since. But at the time, they were an integral part of our growing up. They taught us how to be parents. They taught us how to be prayers, how to read the word. They just fed us, I think, and in those really young years, you know, you're going from one lifestyle to another completely different one, and to have that guidance, it was priceless, and it was just a really precious time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we started, a couple years later, we had our first child, and June 12th, 2000. And we were prepared. We knew what to do. It was really, really amazing. And I got really full of pride. Funny how that happens. Because, you know, the first one, she was just, and she still is, she's just precious. And she was the easy baby and didn't cry or anything, right? Just the perfect little. She's like, shut up.
Well, and it's not to demean it, but I nicknamed her the textbook baby because it was like, what's happening? You go, oh, okay, do this. And then you're like, oh.
And it would work.
Parenting thing.
Yes.
There, you know?
Thank you. Because, yep, 18 months later, I had another child. A boy. He's also precious. We grew a lot. We became strong in those times.
He wrote new books.
You looked in the book, oh, do that, and you try it. No, yeah, no, didn't work. I love you. No, it's awesome because we had been fed. We were raised up in a godly way of child training and discipling. We were still being discipled and we were growing, but we were prepared. Even though it was a different child than the first, completely, you know, different. We needed to grow, but we needed to teach him too how to become an adult, right? That's what the Schulers always say. We're not raising children, we're raising adults, little adults. Yeah. Just keep that and tuck that in because that will help you in all of your parenting decisions when you think about things like that, when you think about that. He's great. He's great. It's never a wasted time or a wasted heartbreak or achievement. It's never wasted. It's just always good, but
just a different path.
Just a different path, and it's okay. It's just honing and learning and all these different things. And God knew that we needed to have him. I'm just throwing you under that bus. But I'll back up soon. Anyway. You're going to make it. Yeah. So after we had Elijah, who I love and I'm thankful for, we had a time where, well, actually having the children was really, really hard for me because I would have terrible seizures just after they were born. Yes, that would be fine, please.
Yeah, so it's great. It's awesome watching God utilize children to bring out the best in you. And the worst sometimes. So. But no, it's the amount of growing that is available for you to do there is endless.
Lots of growing,
lots of opportunities. But it's great, you know, because anything of any of that much worth is worth fighting for, right?
Yeah.
That's all the best stuff is worth fighting for. So that's maybe the best way to sum it up. And see, he's such a servant now.
He is. He's so sweet.
He's actually kissing up. No, he's not. He's not. He's got a very my dad loves working with him. He's like, man, he is such a hard, dedicated, polite, blah blah blah. And I was like, yeah, keep him coming.
Yeah.
So for any of you parents, or maybe you got to deal with other family members or whatever, if the desire of your heart is this, God gives you those desires. So just keep going towards those, right? And then you get there. So praise God for that. But to preface the health stuff she was talking about, so the first two pregnancies after delivery, she had grand mal seizures. Now, for her, that's an absence of time. For me, it's a little terrifying. So previously, she had in, was that 95 when you had the first?
Oh, the AVM, yeah. Yep.
So she had what's called an AVM, arterial venous malformation. Basically, it's a cluster of veins in your head that's a birth defect. And when you get older, it gets hard enough and it cracks. So it's like a soft aneurysm, if you will. Mm-hmm. It kills you, okay? And it usually kills you in your second trimester of pregnancy. So this is another amazing testimony of what God did. She's at work. She was on overtime. We were both on overtime,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And she thought someone hit her in the back of the head with something. She goes and tells the operator, if I don't come back, operator of the machine she's on, if I don't come back in 5 minutes, send someone to the lady. She knew something was wrong. Well, she didn't come back. I get a call, hey, Shannon's going to the hospital and blah, blah, blah. And at this time, people knew, well, they're getting married, and blah, blah, blah. It was still in the five-year window. So, but anyway, so long story short, as we found out that's what it was, she's got a zipper from here to here, 15 hours on the operating table. To correct it. It's so much of it is undescribable. We're not saved yet. This is before we're Christians.
Yeah.
And so you pull on stuff that, man, you just can't believe it. And that's where family really comes in, too. And then you really find out who your friends are also. It's amazing. But and so she has it. 15, I mean, I remember I just laid the phone by the bed and I said, just, you know, if it's going to be all that, I mean, I could sit here, sit there. I'm like, I don't know, just mm-hmm. I'll come in later on. So her mom went for the first shift, sat there all day, and then I came in and did the second 8 hours,
right.
And then sat there until she was done. And they came out there like everything went well. And she says, you won't believe this. The doctor took one break the whole time. He was the best in the Midwest, I guess, this guy. Do you remember his name? I can picture it. He had the best eyebrows in the business.
He's
one of them senior season guys. He was the guy you wanted to do this. So so then you go through this. They basically surgically take it out. You go through some it's crazy. It's open brain surgery, okay?
Yeah.
So, and then you got to go through all these treatments, MRIs, and get cleared. And then she was on the verge of getting cleared. And towards the last one of the MRIs that had contrast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, there's another one. We're like, you have got to be kidding me.
One
in a million chance for you as a person, one in a million times that you would get it twice.
Yeah.
They said, here's the good news. It's small and we can treat it without brain surgery. So she had a titanium hoop screwed to her head, and they use this focused radiation, and they zap it. And it's like weed killer. It makes it grow so fast that it just kind of chokes out itself, gets dissolved and absorbed, and you're good. Amazing.
Yeah.
So this is 96 now.
Yeah.
And so shaved head, by the way, if you haven't put that together. So that was, you know. Another fun story, but, you know, and then you get to see the zipper, and so that's so now we go through the process of her getting medically cleared, and Dr. Mueller, he was the guy. He was great.
Yeah, awesome.
He was great. He was like a comedian, but really down to earth, and he basically said, you're good to go. You can have children. You're cleared.
Yeah.
Everything's good. So now we come, and we're these years later, and now we're into her being pregnant for part of 99 into 2000. We give birth. My grandfather dies almost within a day or two of that. We have to go out to his funeral, and so we're out in the hotel room. I'm sitting there reading my Bible. She's getting her hair ready, and I just hear this giant, kaboom! You know, if you ever heard somebody trip and fall, it's pretty loud. And I'm like, what was it? Actually, what happened is I was talking to her, and she stopped responding, and then I said it again, and she didn't respond, and then I was getting up. I go around the corner to the bathroom side of the room, and she's on full seizure, and I'm just like, okay. So I go knock on my parents' room next door. We call 911, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, we missed the funeral. What's happening? Why is this happening? Here's my neurologist. Well, we're going to put you on this medication. Now you can't breastfeed. We're like, whoa, this is crazy. This is this went south in a hurry.
That's not how we planned.
So, but later on, we just find out that really, well, I'll do the next one, and then we'll tell why.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So she ends up, the doctors basically are like, That was their doctors. I love them and hate them all in the same note. You got a guy who can spend 15 hours, takes one potty break to do that surgery, and then you got a guy that they're just like, well, I don't know, just go for it. We're like, great. How much do you get paid? So now the kids are 18 months apart. So now we're on the second. Now this is December of 2001. December 30th, last baby of the year at Elmbrook Hospital. We got this cool little gift basket. That's pretty cool.
And a baby.
And a baby. He was not in the basket. He's not in the basket. I actually had a cold, and I remember I had to kind of stand back, had the mask on, and it was probably COVID. It was COVID too. I don't know. Whatever. So I had to kind of stand back, and then this was now, so the first one was a week after. This is now a day and a half after. So now it's New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. We're in the hospital room, and we had kind of, going through this next pregnancy, we're like, this is a thing that can happen. So you're going through this one. So are you really excited to be pregnant and delivering this, you know? So you have all that. It's like you want to talk about trust in God. There was a lot of trust that had to come from that because you don't sign up for stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, yeah, where's the seizure column? I want to get in line for that one, you know? And so this is all on our minds. We have a different doctor at this point. He's really trying to work with us. And we're in the hospital. This is a possibility, blah, blah, blah. We're trying to do these different things. Both babies are C-section, so you have to have the anesthesia in the spinal epidural. Thank you. And so she's recovering from that, and then we all know this is a possibility. It's New Year's Day. It's lightly staffed. There's like hardly any doctors, a few nurses. And then I'm talking to her, and I looked at her, and she starts doing this with her eyes, and I went, yeah, here it comes. I knew right away. So I pulled a cord, and she was in her bed this time, so it was fine. The nurses come in, and they're just like, oh, 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 and they're like 100% panic. They were so panicked, and I'm just like, okay, you guys can leave. I looked at them, I said, you got to calm down. Here's what's going to happen. It goes about this long, and then she'll be good, you know, and they're just like, okay. Okay, you know, so I'm sorry. There's so many great nurses out there. I'm not doing that, but this situation was not one of those. So I was the doctor in the room. So, but already you can see the growing of God already, right? This is only 3 years into our journey, and, you know, we got a lot of stuff under our belt. We didn't even get to my side of the story yet, which we'll get, doesn't matter. But health stuff, and so this is happening. She's sweet as it is already, right? When she comes out of a seizure, she's like, oh, she's like Annie. She's like, oh, come here, let me give you a seat. And she doesn't remember this. This is a loss of time for her, so I can make fun of her now all I want. She's got no defense. No, but really, it's a weird thing to watch. But she's super. And then about an hour later, she's kind of like, what happened? And so we're like, it happened again. So anyway, now we're up to this point, and then now starts the 7-year gap with a.
Yeah, we, you know, people freak out when you have seizures after you have your babies. And so, family. Okay, well, his family more so than mine. Heather's a peach. I don't know. You might have been panicking too. I don't know. But they were just like, oh my gosh, you know, kind of blaming him in a way, like, how could you allow her to have children and all this stuff? And it was like,
God's trying to tell you something.
Yeah, that's the cliche. That's the nice one. Yeah, I'll tell you something.
Oh, but that's all under your breath. Your lips don't move.
Yeah, yeah. So we had just people were like, even the doctors were like, yeah, you should just wait to have more children. And we were like, all right, you know, at first you're mad because you're like, no, I'll do what I want to do, you know. But there was really, really that possibility that things could go south if I tried to have another one so close. Plus, having two cesareans so close to each other, they're like a uterine rupture, very real possibility. You want to not have that. So we thought it wisdom to just give it a minute. But then a minute became an hour and a week and a month, you know, as time does. And 7 years later, I got pregnant again, and we lost that baby. So that was kind of hard because we were like, well, no, you said we could do this again. Yep, we each got the word that we were going to have four kids. But, you know, I kind of was throwing a fit. I'm like, no, I was supposed to have another child, and you can't take that away. So I was mad. But God's still God, and he does an amazing work in our hearts when we just let him. So, you know, we prayed and cried and all that stuff. And then it was not even that long later I got pregnant again with Levi. And he, you know, Levi, he's happy, he's spunky, he's dancing constantly, loves God. Honestly, I'm happy to have Levi. I'm sad that I lost one, but I'm happy to have Levi. Because if I, you don't think like this, but if I hadn't lost the other one, then I wouldn't have Levi. So he's a pretty good consolation prize. Scott and I had both been told separately, you're going to have four kids. And so we knew that there was another one in the future. Now, before I had Levi, and I'll try and be quick because we've, you know, our timing, but before I had Levi, I had done just a lot of research on why did I have these seizures before after the last two babies. And so I went on, I don't have epilepsy, but I went on the epilepsy websites and things, and I started researching, and the epidural can do that to you. So I told my OB, who's a believer, and he's like, yeah, we'll do whatever you want. So we tried a different one. I was just going to try and have him normal, no cesarean, but when push came to shove, cesarean. So he's my third cesarean. And we tried this other spinal, this other epidural, and it ended up being great. But they do all these precautions. So anytime I had the baby with me, I had to have a nurse with me. I had to be, you know, in the bed with the side rails, everything, you always, and I had to have padding around me constantly. So it was a little bit like, okay, really? But, you know, I did what they wanted. And it ended up being great.
Yeah.
And then we brought Levi home, and, well, his birth is funny, his birth story. So he was a cesarean, and, you know, when babies come out, they're kind of quiet. Sometimes they'll cry, you know, within a moment. He, you guys, I'm sorry, graphic. He wasn't even out, and he was already singing and yelling. And not like crying, but like singing and joyful and laughing. And as,
we
I'm like,
know,
really?
The nurses and doctors all start laughing.
They're
and
just
we're like,
laughing.
What? We're like, we've never seen this.
So this is our Levi, yeah.
As soon as he can broadcast,
he was broadcasting,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny.
Little did we know.
And little did we know. And so we were happy as a clam with the three of our children, just having a wonderful time. And but then we were like, wait, a fourth. We got to have the fourth. And so it was like, yep, here comes Olivia. They're 2 years apart, 25 months apart. So we have Olivia, and she rounded out our bookends. So we've got girl, boy, boy, girl. Couldn't be happier. And the Lord has blessed us. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, amen. Yeah, so time is totally getting away from us here, but let me just wrap this part up, and then we'll do the little jumping jack stretch thing or something.
We're actually thinking maybe you guys should come back for a couple more weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay.
We don't want you to rush it
or something. Oh, okay. Well, let's just go for a little longer then. We'll wrap this part up and we'll eat. Okay. So, a lot of cool medical stories. It's the other side of that is that was okay. So we had the whole world looking at us. You know, my great aunt was like, "I can't believe you doing that to your wife." And I was like, "Whoa, she's the one that wants to have more." I was the one like, "We're done. This is it." Four must have been her two or her one, me one. I don't know. We're at two. We're good. And so the two older kids did something in particular to me. They just did something, and it was like the joy of the Lord, that verse where it says, you know, that children are a gift from God. And something just rose up right there, and I was like, I can't take this anymore. We got to stick to four. So I was done. She was, like, waiting for me. And my family was, like, thinking I was forcing her to do this. When I say my family, some members of my family. My great aunt was one of them, and I won't get into the other ones. But so they were basically all over me for doing this, like it's my fault. And so you have that, you have all the medical trials, you have all this stuff just coming down on you, right? Yeah. And you just you just pray through it. You just keep going, right? You know, there's a scripture that says when all else fails, you stand. You stand firm in the word, you stand in the faith, and you let it work. You basically, it's saying we have to do works. Without works, faith is dead. But there's a point where you just stand, stop, and let God completely, 100% do everything at that moment. And that's what we got to. We're like, we got nothing, we're done. That is how we got to the point of let's try number three. So then we have the miscarriage, and that's where more of the, oh, well, see, God's trying to tell you something. I'm like, yeah, yeah, he's always trying to tell us something. You should really listen more. And you'll get the right story. So that was, you know, because we have the two sides, right? And so this is more of my side of it. She gets pregnant. There was, like, virtually no morning sickness, no backaches. The delivery, no seizures. It was start to finish, blessed,
peaceful,
unbelievable. After he was born, you know how many people were trying to tell me God was showing me something? Unfortunately, none, because God called their bluff. And he said, yeah, I am trying to tell you something. Watch this. Yeah. Watch this. And that was even if you weren't saved, you were just like, because you got to watch the other two pregnancies, and they were a struggle. They really were. And this one was just like, other than this something in the front area here, you wouldn't know. And so that was watching God shine through that and do that. And it was great. It was one of those moments where there was no word that you could say. There was nothing you could preach. There was nothing you could do, nothing you could pray for. But God just showed everybody. Mm-hmm. He just showed everybody that was a doubter and said, check this out. Yeah. So that was probably the most powerful thing about it.
Yeah.
And then it isn't taken away from the other journeys. They're all parts. So you get to that point, mm-hmm. and you get to enjoy that, right? So we always, a lot of times, look at trials and go, ugh. You know, and you can become a whiner baby and blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of like the correction thing. Take joy. Annie told her, choose joy.
Yeah.
You have a choice. You can be a crab. Ha, I'm good at that, by the way. I know some of you are, too. That's where I learned it from. But discipleship works both ways.
Yeah.
I'm mostly kidding.
Don't correct.
Here comes a rebuke. No.
Yeah.
Choose joy. It's really it. So, you know, the trial, the Bible talks about how when these trials come, the heat burns off the dross in the metals, the impurities. That's what the trials do. So if you want to get better with God, right with God, grow with God, you have to do that. You can't, you know, again, our wisdom is foolishness to him. So you just have to understand you don't know nothing, okay? If there's a ocean of water, you know a drop of water. But amongst other men, you can be full of wisdom and knowledge. And that's a whole different story. But anyway, so that is the main thing. You go through the trial and you stick with it and you faith, you humble yourself. You're like, God said this. We got to stick with that. Because your other choice stinks, so don't do that. And then look what happens, all right? I think that's probably a really good place to stop. So, yeah. Let me just pray and just pray. See, we're going to just pray again. Yeah. Why don't I close up with prayer, and then I'll let one of the guys come up and lead us into the next section here. Thank you, Lord, so much that we get to get up here, and time goes by so fast because you are and have done such amazing things. It's really fun to talk about and experience and let everybody know. And this is just a small part, but Lord, you've shown so much. And we thank you that we get to be here and do this, that you've done such amazing things. And Lord, we just thank you that we have this meeting, this freedom to meet here.